Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Strat in the gun on 2nd and 24. Here's the snap. CJ looking. CJ firing downfield. Hits Nico. 10, 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. A flag on the play.
Man, that's weight room right there, baby.
Oh. Yeah, that was weight room right there. If you watched Nico Collins, they mic'd him up for the Colts game, and one of the several plays he made in that game, after he got tackled or knocked out of bounds, he got up in the face of one of the Colts DBs and said, "That's weight room, baby.
That's weight room."
That's what Dre's referring to.
You know what's really cool is I know a lot of people said, "Hey, why aren't the tight ends more involved, or weren't they last night?" You know who was the deep route on those that double post crosser there that opened things up for Nico Collins?
Schultz?
Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that? And he timed it perfectly. Dalton Schultz turned into a blocker immediately after the catch.
Yeah.
You know, there was no threat of offensive pass interference or anything. And Dalton Schultz was involved in the passing game. The Texans, to their credit, just did some things versus that very good Bears defense of finding windows and opportunities.
Yeah.
They did it in the second half, too. It's just that the pass protection broke down at very bad times, or some of the penalties and mistakes also came in crucial situations.
Yep.
So upon reflection, as it always is, it's weird to say, it's never bad as you thought it was when you watch the film. I'm saying that after a win.
Right.
I'm like, it wasn't as bad as that. There were opportunities in the second half where I don't feel as frustrated about their inability to really put the Bears away, but there is definitely a lot of meat on the bone when it comes to just streamlining this operation.
No doubt. We'll get to all the stock up, stock down at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We will acknowledge at 7:20, a lot of acknowledging going on from over the weekend. Crazy weekend around the NFL, too. That was as wild a Sunday as we've seen in a long, long time. I'm kind of glad that this is one of the handful of Sundays that you and I got to watch football during the day as opposed to being, you know, dialed in on the Texans all day. That was a crazy early window of games. I want to keep it focused on Nico here for a second. Nico Collins, that touchdown that you heard right there, the only touchdown of the game for the Houston Texans. I love that that came on a 2nd and 24, I guess Mark said it was, after a 15-yard penalty that was assessed against Nico Collins. That was after the very last play of the first quarter. Tyreek Stevenson gets up. I don't think the ref saw this, but put his finger inside Nico's helmet. I think if they'd seen that.
He tried to pull a Moe and Curley on him.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, right, exactly. And then the referee saw the retaliation from Nico, calls the 15-yard penalty. So then you start the second quarter in 2nd and 24, and I love that it was a slant route, classic Nico slant route, and then he just, I don't know who the DB was in the end zone that he just threw off of him like he was just so much garbage.
I think that was,
it was one of the safeties trying to tackle him at the goal line. But Nico's a beast. This is probably the highest compliment I can pay to Nico, is that Nick Caserio had one of the best off seasons that we've seen a general manager have here in this town, certainly ever. He signed Danielle Hunter. He traded for Stephon Diggs. He traded for Joe Mixon. Others, Azeez Al-Shaair, like he had a really good offseason. The best move so far of the entire offseason for the Texans, two games into the season, is Nico Collins' contract extension.
If he continues to play like this,
cheap,
it is a very, very good deal. And I think that I would be flabbergasted, or I would be astounded if Nico continues to play like this. It's going to be one of these situations where all of a sudden you hear about a couple years from now, you hear that they extended Nico's contract, like without ever a peep out of anything.
Like Tunsil.
Tunsil, which, yeah. I mean,
contractually.
Nico embodies everything D'Amico would want in a football player.
Yeah, I agree.
They gave Laremy Tunsil an extension without him like clamoring for it or anything. So, yeah, they damn well will give Nico one, but I don't think it's ever going to be an issue.
No.
One of the things I love about Houston over the course of the last 6 months is that Swarm has become both an adjective, a noun, and and
yeah,
a verb.
And a verb.
But he's one of the swarmist Texans. Nico is very much up there.
Gets.
He might be in the top three of swarms on the Texans team right
now. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. And two games in, he's got 14 catches for a little over 250 yards. I love seeing him get into the end zone last night. Only touchdown in the game for the Texans. But it's like there's nothing cookie cutter about his 6, 7, 8 catches that he gets, man. There are at least 3 or 4 every game where you're going, all right, there's like 10 guys on earth that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like just
well,
and 11 last week, the 55-yard jump ball between two defenders. I think even the touchdown that you heard there, like just Nico Collins with a head of steam is like it's, man, he is I don't want to say he's been a revelation. He was amazing last year, but my God, he's taken last year and he's taken it to another level two games.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Nico, especially, because now it's becoming routine on the scramble drill. The scramble drill is becoming routine.
Twice
last night, and especially the early one. From our vantage point in the press box, it looked like there was no way in hell that CJ wasn't going to get sacked because the D lineman chasing him was moving.
Yeah.
And they make it look on this scramble drill almost like no big deal.
Yeah.
CJ just fires it off to Nico. The ball's a little bit high. Nico just pulls it in and it looks like no big deal.
Yep.
And yet it's almost becoming routine. Same thing on this wasn't scramble drill per se. But it was on a scramble. When CJ threw that ball to Tank, the Tank dropped. I mean, that was across his body.
Yeah.
And it was the point where at that point, I think I was watching on television, and Collinsworth remarked about what a crazy throw it was by CJ to be able to throw across his body, and I'm like,
right.
I mean, that's just what he.
I know they haven't been on national TV very much.
That wasn't way across his body. okay, all right.
Yeah, man. I want to go back. I haven't gotten to watch any of the TV copy yet, but the two throws that I can't wait to go back and watch and see what Tirico and Collinsworth said was the one you just talked about, the first Nico scramble drill where CJ in real time looked like he was getting dragged to the ground as he threw an absolute missile to Nico along the sidelines. Like that was crazy. And then I think it was a third down throw. I'm almost certain it was the one chunk play that Stephon Diggs had in the game. Where CJ those are the ones he makes look so easy.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that he just drops it in there. Like that 21-yard catch by Diggs, those are the two I want to go back and see. Because we have not gotten a lot of the national media. Certainly, we haven't gotten that Sunday night football type attention. So that's kind of fun, you know, like when you've got an announcer. I've seen all this.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
CJ Stroud highlights and they watched the playoff game last year and stuff like that. But I'm anxious to go back and see Tirico and Collinsworth. I'm assuming marvel at things that, to your point, you and I have probably, and many others have come to take for granted that C.J. Stroud just has a cape on all the time.
Yeah, yeah. The other guy, too, that I could see in a two-hour show we might neglect to mention, except I'm sure you've got him and acknowledge me, Kymie Fairbairn.
He's in there.
I mean, my God. I mean, to the point where, okay, Laremy Tunsil, critical situation, false start, big surprise, right? No, that's what he does.
Right.
59-yard field goal.
Yeah.
That's what Kymie Fairbairn does.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. That's what they were gushing about on the broadcast a lot was just Kymie Fairbairn and how
automatic.
Incredibly clutch and automatic he's been. Boy, in an outdoor stadium last night, too.
It was an outdoor game.
The swirling winds. Yes. The swirling winds.
That was an outdoor game last night. That's true.
Yeah.
Kymie Fairbairn, if you missed the graphic on TV, no kicker in the history of the league. Not in the first two games of the season, over any two-game period ever, has kicked 5 50-plus-yard field goals. Kymie's got 6. And the one of the 7 field goals he's made that wasn't a 50-yarder was a 47-yarder. So the dude hasn't kicked a short one, a chippy, yet this year, which I guess is kind of good news, at least. It means that they get in the red zone, that they're normally scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
Or fumbling on the five-yard line. The question, okay, so we've dialed in on Nico being a beast in this segment, and he absolutely is. So the question I saw from a lot of people on the post game last night, on the text page this morning, is, okay, where are all the others here? I mean, we've been very Nico heavy in the offense. This was supposed to be a fireworks display where everybody was going to be getting, you know, some games guys were going to get their 100 while other guys are getting 50 or 60. The Colts game, I think everybody got the requisite amount of touches, or at least the quality of the touches in the case of Diggs, were really good. He only had 30-something yards, but he had two touchdowns. Tank had a couple running plays, a couple chunk plays in the pass game. Nico was a beast. Last night was a little bit more like, okay, well, it's a lot of Nico here, but Diggs was pretty quiet other than that one big play. Tank was one catch for minus 3 yards, and they tried him on those end-arounds, couldn't do anything. Here's D'Amico after the game, was asked about, okay, how do we get Tank and Diggs going?
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of getting guys going. If, like I said before, guys, whoever is open and they're making plays, they'll get the ball, right? So it's not a lack of trying to get those guys the ball. Nico has just shown up these first 2 weeks and made some big-time plays for us. So the other guys are playing really well as well. I mean, Tank and Diggs are playing well, too.
So as long as they're winning, I think most people don't care super deep about how the ball is distributed as long as the Texans keep winning football games. I think lurking in the back of everybody's mind is 6 catches for 30 or 40 yards with Diggs, is that a recipe for the possible ticking time bomb to be detonated?
Yeah, I didn't even want to say it necessarily. I was wondering as you were talking about that whether I should even mention that. I would be highly surprised.
Me too.
It just, at this point in the season, certainly.
Yes.
I think that there is a potential for this offense to be very explosive, and we just haven't seen it yet. I think that there is very much an element to, as we saw around the league yesterday, I think most offenses are rusty. A lot of the best performers aren't necessarily right where they're going to be. So I'm going to try to be patient on that. It helps when the defense is playing the way they are.
Yes.
It helps when Kyme Fairbairn is as clutch as he is. So all of that helps it and makes it a lot easier to withstand the storm. But once the new offensive coordinator took over in Buffalo last year and things started to go south for Stephon Diggs, they were winning a lot of games and they went to the AFC Championship game.
Did.
Like it was not like there was a lack of team success.
No.
The offense was actually doing pretty well, better in a lot of respects than it had been before the new guy came in. So it's something to maybe keep off in the distance, just to be aware of on the horizon.
It's funny you bring that up, the defense and Kyme, but the defense in particular. Like, if I'm one of the other contenders in the AFC and I'm tuning into that game last night, and coming into the season, the thought with the Texans was, yeah, they're in the mix in the AFC, largely because of the offense, largely because C.J. Stroud is awesome. He's wise beyond his years. He's super talented, and they went and got him more weapons. If I'm a player or a coach or a front office guy from one of these other AFC team, the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bills or the Bengals or whoever, the Jets won yesterday. People think the Jets can be whatever. I'm watching that game last night going, oh, crap. Because the Bears did kind of corral the Texans. I know CJ still had 260 yards passing, but it was very Nico heavy. They managed to shut down Tank and Diggs. The running game got shut down. They only scored 19 points. If I'm one of those other teams, I'm watching it, and I'm watching that Texans defense, and I'm like, oh, crap. They've got another side of the ball now.
Yeah, and somebody else said to me last night, like, well, you see, everybody shouldn't be talking Super Bowl with this team. Well, for one, okay, show me the NFL team that's won a Super Bowl that didn't at sometimes struggle to look like the greatest show on turf at any, like the Kansas City Chiefs last year. I'm not thinking about November right now.
No,
I'm thinking about the Minnesota Vikings, but there's nothing so far that this team has done that shows me like, oh no, they're not actually going to be able to compete with the heavyweights. I feel much more, because of the way the defense has played.
Yeah.
I feel, and the fact that they got rid of a lot of their issues with the deep ball from last week, the fact that they were able to blitz so heavily and be effective with it, I feel better right now than I did maybe 3 weeks ago about the team in total.
The issues that have led to them being a 2-0 where we feel like they've left stuff on the table,
yeah,
are things that are either unsustainable for the opposition or incredibly fixable.
If you look at, you know,
I feel more strongly that they're a team that can contend.
I hate it when people use box score victories, like in a loss, especially when you say, well, look, we ran for this and we had this. If you just look at some of the basic stats and then yards per play, the Texans in the last two games, on a down-by-down basis, have physically dominated and destroyed the opponent. They really, really have.
Yeah.
Like, it's been kind of glaring. That's why it's frustrating, because they can't put the cherry on top.
Right.
That's the frustrating part. But also, the defense could be something special. The fact that Kamari Lassiter is coming along as well as he is, the fact that they asked him to play on the left side of the field yesterday after being on the right side all throughout training camp and last week, I think that's a very good sign for how versatile the defense could be moving forward.
No doubt. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll stick with the Texans. We have not even talked about the Astros yet. They swept the Angels over the weekend. We'll talk about the big storylines to come out of that. And a crazy day around the NFL as well yesterday. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up.